On April 1st, 1905, the world was shocked when it was broadcast that all the gold and silver had been stolen from the US Treasury. Many were left stunned as to how this could have happened. Who was behind it? What were their motives? And how did they manage to pull off the greatest robbery of the century? Tonight's podcast with James Marshall will have you wondering if we have placed our faith and trust in the wrong hands.
Breaking news! We have just received information from an inside source of the U.S. Treasury stating that a robbery occurred at 6 p.m. earlier this evening. Most recent news states that it was an inside job, bank that was funded by an elite group of American robber baron multimillionaires and carried out by nothing more than a local gang hired to do the dirty work. The question here, Jim, is how did an amateur group pass 68 night watchmen, a complicated home's electric protector, and over 300 alarm signals? It just isn't adding up. We have yet to get an official statement from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, but word on the street is that the U.S. government is desperately trying to conceal the crime.
The world was shocked. No one could understand how a heist like this was even made possible at supposedly one of the most secure locations in the country. Professor Garrick, author of the renowned novel Fooling a Country with Money and Thugs, based on this very heist, speaks of the controversy surrounding it.
Everyone at the time was so focused on the details of the physical work involved in robbing the treasury that people placed little emphasis on actually finding the root of and reasons for it. Yes, the gang members at the bottom were able to pass all security measures with the aid of money, but the real question is, besides the people with a bright spotlight shining over them, who were the people that turned a blind eye in the shadows? Attention was placed on Russia buying the gold and silver, and the two Colombian and two Chilean cruisers used to transport it out from the Potomac River. But everyone seemed to overlook the fact that it happened in our very own country, and with that, the possibility that people sworn in to serve the government could very well be the ones responsible for the crime of the century right under our noses.
Despite all efforts of the government trying to conceal the news at the time, it was just too big a story to hide away from the public. With eyewitnesses ranging from ports to the Treasury building, people were ready to speak out.
Straight after the incident, all employees still on site were huddled into one room, I think. For a second, I thought that the robbers had returned, but I realized that the people guarding the doors were actually U.S. officials. We were quickly examined and bombarded with questions. The tension in the room was high. People were scurrying along the corridors. Yellow tape and evidence stickers were placed everywhere. The atmosphere was almost surreal, as if taken straight from a movie.
However, victims were not the only ones to speak out about the heist. Morgan Barrett, a low-key pirate at the time, was forced to give a statement after being found with $5,000 in cash, trying to flee the port near the building opposite to the Treasury building, disguised as a factory, Myron Meads Co. The recording was later released.
You know that it's too late to escape this. You were caught running away with the money that cannot be traced from the scene of the crime. Do you want to explain to us how you came about this money?
I had some previous dealings that owed me money. You can't trace it. You don't have anything on me. Barrett knew that investigators had little to go on, and without his confession, were left in the dark once again. Desperately trying to look for leads, they finally managed to get a half-confession.
They're not coming back for you. No low-life thug, pirate, or shady millionaire cares about whether you walk away or spend the remainder of your life behind bars. We know all about you. Your past dealings, forgery, violence. It's quite the record you have here.
Okay. All I know is that I was supposed to be the connection between the cruisers and a group of men that I was to meet on the day. Myers Mead & Company was the meeting point where I would receive my cash.
You have to give us more than that. Details. Time, physical descriptions of men, dates. Come on.
I don't know. I was just supposed to receive my package at 8 p.m. outside of the back entrance. I don't even know the details of the shipping arrangement. I met a guy at Old Man Barber's Bar about a year ago. He bought me a few drinks and told me he was on the lookout for some decent cruisers. Low-key, undetectable, but efficient enough to make a long trip. So I put him in touch with Jack Trigger. After years of searching and countless investigations put into place, the $100 million robbery of the U.S. Treasury still remains, up until today, a mystery to us all. Conspiracies and news reports have made their way to the surface, however, are quickly shut down or run into a dead end. The Russians, Americans, pirates, shady millionaires, or local gangsters all form a part of a mystery proving her to be solved. The big question that I leave you with tonight is, can we trust the people in charge, or are we blind to the inner dealings that will most likely never be exposed to us?